My name's Kathy Caton, and this is Out in Brighton, with the city's guide to all things lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans and queer. And we're broadcasting from the heart of Brighton, from the Radio Reverb studios down in the open market. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be profiling community hero and fundraising stalwart and general just fabulous chap around town, Danny Dwyer, founder of Bear Patrol. Trans Pride is approaching and there's all sorts of exciting stuff going on down at the Marlborough and artistic responses to, from and by the trans community. Emma Boswood will be in with details of that. More arts and culture and subversion as Melita Dennett takes us to Brighton Museum and under the skin of Gilbert and George with the curator of fine art, Jenny Lund. And I promise it will be safe for broadcast. And we've got a smorgasbord of fresh tracks for you as we officially come into the summer. That's coming up in the next hour here on Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're across the city on DAB Plus and we're online worldwide at radioreverb.com. Kicking us off today, and there's a new album out from them imminently, planning on luring them in for a session when it happens, it's Battery Operated Orchestra. Battery Operated Orchestra kicking us off on Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. They've got a new album out soon. There'll be exclusive airplay of their new tracks and bits and pieces, and they're also planning and promising to gig around Brighton when that comes out and about. So all news on that when it happens. My name's Kathy Caton and this is Out in Brighton, bringing you queer radio for Brighton and beyond. And I'm really happy to say, because it's been a long overdue time, but sat opposite me in Radio Reverb Towers, the sumptuous out in Brighton Suites, is none other than, I will go as far as to call you a community hero, Danny of Bear Patrol.
See, I'm blushing and you can't see it.
And so many other things. Danny, you are...
Thank you for having me back.
You're a very, very well-known face across the scene, across Brighton. But for anyone who's listening to this who might not be familiar with you or Bear Patrol, because there might be one or two.
There might be the odd person.
Tell me about Bear Patrol, how it began and your relationship with it.
Okay, so Bear Patrol started, May 2008, when I was diagnosed with HIV.
So significant year.
Significant
anniversary just passed.
10 years of HIV myself. So that's kind of, so the Bear Patrol kind of revolved out of that, really, because I wanted to kind of give something back through the help that I had over the years, you know, with my diagnosis. So the Bear Patrol kind of slowly grew out of that. We started fundraising about 8 years ago. And we've fundraised since, up to date. So we're doing 8 years of fundraising. And so we do a lot of community events and projects throughout the community that support various organisations up front and organisations that are frontline that help, you know, to put back into the community itself. So like Mind Out, the Beacon, the Rainbow Fund, which we're working a lot more with now. So,
And why did you feel there was the need specifically for Bear Patrol? What had your experiences been?
Well, my experiences was 2 years prior to my diagnosis was 2 years of basically hibernating because of not wanting people to see me change as a person because I lost a lot of weight. I went down to, well, I'm only 11 and a half stone now, but I was 6'11" at my time of diagnosis. So I've seen photos of myself recently where I look back and think, my God, I don't even recognise myself. So I understood now why I didn't want people to see me at the time. So it was my chance to sort of give something back and trying to help people that are maybe going through the same situation to kind of not hibernate, to deal with the situation and then look forward to a brighter future.
And Bear Patrol's done so much in time.
We've done a lot over the years.
What if you're afraid of chucking yourself out of planes, abseiling down things,
so
organising endless food and drink things? What have some of your highlights been of the years?
Highlights? Oh, God. My highlights probably doing my first ever skydive with the group, putting it out there, thinking I'd just do it on my own, and about 20 people decided to come and do it, which was wonderful. Abseiling down the Spinnaker Tower, I think probably has to be one of those ones that I've done. Not sure whether I'd do it again.
I'd have to say the word why is in my head in very large letters. Why?
Why?
Because and how do you go about choosing these things and going, right, okay,
well,
things
you see, you know, when you're through the media and things like that, they kind of pop up, things like that. So the ideas kind of creep into your head and just happened. And I was offered it again recently, but it's kind of sitting there on a slow burn to see if I can get anyone else to do it again. Because the I-360 are doing it now, aren't they? So at least with the Spinnaker Tower, there's a wall. You've got the side of it to kind of come down. But with the I-360, you're kind of just hanging. So,
dangling off a pod. Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet.
And I have to ask, do you have to be a bear to be involved in Bear Patrol?
No, you don't have to be a bear. No, the Bear Patrol purely was, it's just a name that came out of thin air all those years ago. Purely a pub crawl around Brighton, really, because I'd not seen so many people for so long. I'd lost touch with everyone. So it purely was basically a pub crawl around Brighton to try and catch up with everyone again. And that's where the name came from. So, but no, everyone, it's a very open...
And was there the impetus to that initial pub crawl? What made you go, right, OK, actually, I'm going to get out?
That was September 2008. It purely was. I was sitting at home, I felt well again, and I thought, I need to get out. Because I've had 2 years indoors, no social life, and being a very social person, suddenly, because I felt well again, I looked in the mirror and I thought, I actually feel well and I look well, so I just wanted to get out. And I literally sent a little text out on the phone, and I met up with a couple of friends in the Star, which is now the Mucky Duck. And we used to meet there every Saturday, and over the Saturdays, more and more people started coming along, and it just eventually, Facebook kind of came in, so therefore it's easier to put everyone into a group in the Facebook page and let them know where we're going. And that's how it started. Literally four people on a Saturday night in the Star.
From little acorns do
grow.
Mighty oaks grow.
Over the years, we have done, you know, so much.
You absolutely have. And you've got some really standout events as well. So there's Hibernation.
Hibernation is our kind of standout event.
Tell us about Hibernation.
It's basically a Sunday lunch with some lovely cabaret held at the Old Ship Hotel in October. And it fundraises, we're working now heavily with Mind Out and the Rainbow Fund. So we kind of split the profit between the two. But the mind, the money that goes to Mind Act goes towards the counselling project that we helped set up last year with them, last October.
So. Yeah, so I want to ask you about your choices of Mind Out and Rainbow Fund, and what particularly talks to you about what how they work.
Well, with funding, I've always been, I love a project, and I always feel that when you're fundraising, that money should go towards a specific project and not just go...
Not into a general pot.
Not saying we don't support charity, but when you put money into a charity, it's nice to know where the money... People like to know where the money's gone. And if you can physically say, this is what we've raised, this is the project it's gone to, and you've physically got evidence of the project working and actually helping people, people like to do that. So with that, I always try to focus on a specific project with any event we do, really. So,
and what does that give you in terms of kind of... warm, rosy glow feeling.
I get huge satisfaction knowing that other people have been helped and have been able to succeed in what they want to do via funding that we've put into a specific project. It's a great feeling.
Absolutely, and we're massive fans, as we would be, of the Rainbow Fund on this programme, not least because they are so fundamental in making sure that money's getting out to the
right... And you know it's going, and you know where it's going, and you know that they're keeping an eye on where it's going, so... Just because they've given money to a specific project, they're actually watching that project to make sure the money is actually physically being used for that project itself. So it's nice to know that you're putting money in and it's getting used properly.
Absolutely. And the fact that it can go to help fund and support groups that wouldn't be able to get money anywhere else, or it's too restrictive to try and get quids, and it's really going into frontline services and looking after the wider LGBTQ community as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what have you got on the slate? What's coming up?
On the slate, we have, Suited Sunday Lunch, which
tell
I
us about
adore.
That.
It just takes you back to my childhood, really. It was all to do with growing up, grandparents always putting on their Sunday best to go out for dinner. And it's kind of, I think, in the community, and not so much Arkham, but all round, really, I think people have kind of lost touch with dressing up for specific occasions. So, I mean, I love to dress up on a Sunday, so I always put a tie on for Sunday dinner, and I just thought it was quite nice to just do a suity Sunday lunch. It purely is just going out for Sunday dinner, but everyone making an effort.
Excellent. And on a the venue time. For this year?
This one we're doing is at the Rottendean Club, Sunday the 8th of July from 1 o'clock. And we've got the whole venue to ourselves, which is great.
Fantastic. And so you want people to book in advance?
Have to book in advance. 33. We've got 40 places and 33 are already taken, so we've only got 7 left.
So need to be quick. And how do people go about booking a space?
All they need to do is just go on to the Facebook page for the Suited Sunday Lunch. If they just go to Bear Patrol page on Facebook, or they can just send me an email, which is info@bearpatrol.org.uk.
Fabulous. And it's that time of year where you can tell that we've had 3 minutes of sunshine, because I'm sort of like, it's summer, and looking ahead, Chris. And of course, one of the biggest weekend in Brighton's queer calendar is Brighton Pride.
Yes.
What are your plans, if any, for this year?
So Brighton Pride this year, last year and the year before, I found it easier fundraising wise to let people in the group, the people that support us, to go off and just do what they want to do. So, you know, we've got a lot of people that will go off and they'll do work with the Sea Serpents. You've got the Brighton Bear
Weekend.
It's the
rugby club.
Exactly.
Yep. Rugby team, rather.
So I just felt it was easier for me to do something for under the Bear Patrol banner and just take a bucket for myself for the Rainbow Fund, which is what I did last year. And I'll do the same again this year for 4 days. And I will just shake the bucket for the Rainbow Fund.
What's the reception on the street to you shaking the bucket? Because I'm very proud to see you doing it. So you last year outside the Brighton Hotel.
How
do people react to you?
If you were to just walk up to people in the street with a bucket, people are they're not as forward as they used to be years ago, I think. But I think I find it easier if you actually got a physical dress up about you. So if you wear something that's kind of that sticks out, that's different, you've already got that appeal and people will want to come and see you. So I'm at the moment trying to think of something to wear.
Freddie's going to have a year off.
Freddie Mercury last year, so it's great because everyone wanted a picture of Freddie. I was like, if you want a picture of Freddie, you've got to put it in the bucket, and it's what people did. So I'm trying to find something to do again this year. So we do our quiz at the Camelford Arms on the Thursday before, which helps to start the fundraising off, and then I take the bucket Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So,
well, if you see this man out and about round town,
I'll be out
buy him a drink and mop his fevered
Thank
brow.
You. Not too drunk though.
Buy him a soft drink of your choice and mop his fevered brow.
But yeah, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to wear yet, so I need to find something. So I was thinking about Banana Man, but it might be too hot.
You could be sweltering. I know. But we've got weeks to go.
Maybe
we'll
sexy
find
Banana
it.
Man.
Whatever, I have got some images in my head. None of them are suitable for discussing on the airwaves, to be honest. So, John, you've got your Suti Sunday lunch coming up. Obviously, there's Pride in Your Bucket shaking.
Yeah.
Tickets for Hibernation already?
Tickets for Hibernation, yeah. We have 22 seats left.
Amazing.
On that. We've basically got two tables left available for Hibernation. So, again, if they want to come, Hibernation, if they just type Hibernation into Facebook, it will come straight up with the event. Or, they can just email through to me and I'll sort of sort it out for them, yes.
And it absolutely sells out every year.
Every year,
so act quick. Act now to be in with the Bairy chance come October.
Exactly, yeah.
And finally, Danny, if people want to keep up with what you're up to personally, but also with Bear Patrol, maybe get in touch, how do they go about it?
They can follow it. Facebook really is our heavy kind of place to socialise.
And it's quite a community space as well, actually. It's conversational, space, yeah. People get involved.
So on Facebook, you have the Bear Patrol page, which purely is just, if they type in Bear Patrol page, it will come up with our page. Or if they were to just type in Bear Patrol community group, it will come up with the actual community group itself. And just add themselves into both, and that way they can follow all the events that we're up to.
The wonderful, wonderful Danny, founder of Bear Patrol, and also overcoming his fierce hay fever to make it to the studio and talk to us. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us on Out in Brighton, Danny.
It's well overdue.
And you really are you're a genuine community hero, and it's a privilege to have you in the studio. Shush. The gorgeous Danny. Find out everything about all things Bear Patrol on Facebook. Get involved, get engaged, and you don't have to be a bear to get involved. Danny, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb. We'll be right back. You're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and on an award-winning podcast. I know that's not even a humble brag. That was just banging on, wasn't needlessly. But if you would like to delve into the previous 8 years of programmes like this, there is a fast-forward button and a skip button, you'll be glad to know. You can find us on Out in Brighton on Podomatic, where it's the number one LGBTQ podcast. We're on iTunes too, and also other places around the internet. So have a sift through. Let me know what you think. And also, if you've got a story that you want to tell, if there's something that you think should be covered that we're not covering, if you've got an event that you want to promote or tracks that you want to hear played, please get in contact. You can find me on the Out in Brighton page on Facebook, or get in contact through the Out in Brighton pages on the RadioReverb.com website. Here endeth the banging on, and here acrosseth the desk. A returning, very welcome returning voice to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb. It's none other than Emma Boswood of the Marlborough Pub and Theatre. Welcome back.
Thank you. Lovely to be here again.
Always a pleasure to have you in, Mrs. Now, we are quicker than it takes to tell. We're galloping towards Trans Pride,
yes.
2018. And there's a plethora of stuff going on at and around the Marlborough, mm-hmm. in terms of creative responses and artistic endeavours.
Yes.
Tell us what's going on.
So Trans Pride, obviously always one of our favourite times of the year. It's where we get to be involved with and bring loads of really exciting artists to the Marley and around the Marlborough, as you were saying. So I'm just going to dive straight in to the programme. And just to say, the programme is now out, and you can collect it from the Marlborough, and also it's viewable on our website as well. And it features this amazing illustration by Rory Madani of all of the, well, not all, but a lot of the artists who were involved. So it's just worth picking one up because it's really gorge, just to say. But yeah, so the first event is happening on Sunday the 15th of July, and it's a photography workshop that is led by Noe Warren, who you may know. They work at the Marlborough on occasion. They're like incredibly charming and great. So they're leading a photography workshop. It's open to trans and non-binary people only. And it is enabling you to create empowering visual manifestations of yourself and people's often like complex identities. So Noe is a really talented artist, and it's a free workshop, and you get to work with Noe all day on Sunday the 15th of July from 12 till 7. There's very limited capacity for that. So
how do people go about putting their names down on the list?
If you're interested, then shoot over an email to info@marlboroughtheatre.org.uk, and then we can put you in touch with Noe, and then you can get the ball rolling. But that's going to be a really great thing that's kicking us off. And then next after that, we've got another event which is exclusively for trans and non-binary people. And this is Trans Life Drawing, which is led by Jared, who also on occasion works at the Marlborough. So we've got
a pattern emerges here.
Yeah, we're bringing people upstairs. It's really nice when we were able to do that, because obviously we've got so many talented people who hang out there and work there as well. So Jared's running Trans Life Drawing, which is where we're putting, it's providing a space in which kind of like instead of just having like white cis able-bodied models, which kind of tends to be a lot of life drawing is kind of based around, this is a space for all people, different people to come and experience. You can also experience like modeling for the first time, which might be quite a daunting thing, but it doesn't have to be nude. You can wear as exactly what you'd like to wear and just have that experience of like being drawn, which I think, like Jared like said, they find it really like liberating experience. But if you don't want to be drawn and you want to do some drawing, you can come along to that. It's £6 or £5 concession, and it's on Wednesday the 18th of July, and you can buy tickets on the Marlborough website. But if you'd like to be involved or just like have more of a chat about what it would be like to model for that, then you can again shoot me an email on info@marlboroughtheatre.org.uk, and then we can put you in touch with Jared, and it will be a really fun thing if anyone wants to do that.
And I suppose this would be a good time just to do it's about actually how and why you can trust the Marlborough as a space to come to. Perhaps if you're listening to this, you've not been to the Marley before and I hope that everyone will be aware of the amazing work that you do. But yeah, I was wondering if you could just tell us a bit about the ethos of the Marley, and particularly as it moves towards being very much a queer safe space.
Yes, definitely. I think one of the things that's really important to say is that especially these two events, but all of the events obviously are very, we build a safe environment and place where people can come and express themselves freely. But especially with these two kind of workshop events, it is just for trans and non-binary people, and we think it's really important to have a space where people can just like interact with each other, and there isn't any I think it's really important to do that. And this whole program was made was spoken about with the Trans Pride Committee, and everything that we do we clear with them. And also we're working with a really amazing producer, an assistant producer called Lee Smith, and they are the best person ever, and they've come on board as assistant producer on this. So it's really nice to have like a not entirely cis team at the Marlborough, and we find it really important as well when we're kind of programming this sort of work. So yeah, the Marley is definitely somewhere that you should check out if you are that would like to.
Fantastic. And so Lee, this is an open invitation to come and talk on Outer
Yes, they do need to come on, they said.
To get you on. Emma, take us back to your programme.
Okay, so then the next event coming up after that is the one that we do every year, and it sells out every time. It's an absolutely incredible night, and that's our Trans Pride Art Night, which this year is taking place on Thursday the 19th of July at 7:30 PM, and it's £6 or £5 concessions. And that is when the Marlborough is just completely taken over with the Trans Pride celebration. So we have various artists taking place, including Ellie Stamp, Katie Jalili, Miranda Porter, Luna Morgana and Emma Frankland, an after party in the pub with DJ Jamiri. And it's just such a great vibe. Like, it's a really exciting, friendly night where you get to experience such a plethora of performances. Like, there's such variety that we've got in place. And Miranda Porter, for example, they performed
can't say the title happens. Of it.
They did a show at Brighton Fringe, which was a massive success. So we've bought them to do something for us at the Marlborough, which is going to be really exciting. And also to say, so it is ticketed, but some of the performances will be taking place downstairs, so they'll be accessible, because unfortunately our theatre isn't accessible due to a narrow staircase, which drives us insane. So the events taking place downstairs will be free, and the ones taking place upstairs will be ticketed. So that's Emma Frankland is upstairs, but I know that like Luna Morgana and Ellie Stamp are taking place downstairs. It's going to be great. And it also always sells out. So if you're interested in it, I would recommend going online and buying a ticket, or next time you're in the pub, just popping across the bar and getting one, because otherwise you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, and it is a bijou, an amazing but bijou space. So it
yeah.
Really, yeah,
exactly. And then moving on from that, we've got Juno Dawson's lovely Trans Literary Salon, which is on the 26th of July at 7:30 PM. It's £9.50 or £7.50 concessions, but there are 10 pay what you can tickets available for that. And so, yeah, obviously Juno Dawson,
superstar,
yeah, absolutely
Brighton superstar,
Brighton superstar, and kind of like UK wide superstar. Like, she's just going places.
Absolutely. So a young adult fiction author.
Yeah. So she's the acclaimed writer of The Gender Games, and also just an incredible writer and journalist. Like, she recently published a piece in the Metro about Love Island, which is really good. You should read it.
And it's now become an official kind of Love Island
commentator
piece. Yes, yeah. It's commentator. Yeah.
She's so great. But she's bringing two really great authors with her to have a kind of literary salon. And those people are author of A New Girl, Rhiannon Stiles, and British Iraqi genderqueer writer, director and drag performer Amro Al-Kadhai. So it's always a really good event, and it's really interesting, and the people that she has speak are really great. So come along to that,
which will also sell out like a shot. There's a theme here, which is about getting organised and on it.
Yes, absolutely. And the final Trans Pride event is that we're doing at the Marlborough is a show called If Britney Could Get Through 2007, We Can Get Through This. So you can see we kind of took the theme of Pride in Brighton. They've got Britney Spears performing this year, and we've got something even better, because we've got non-binary artist Jo Mariasaga is doing this Britney show, and it's about when Jo was 17, they experienced an episode of like mental illness during which they shaved their head. They didn't want to identify with gender anymore, they were done with it. And the following week, Britney Spears did exactly the same thing. So ultimately, what had been this really kind of like action, which was in order for them to just get out their frustration, automatically became like an incredibly femme icon. And like, so yeah, that their show is, it's really funny, it's really interesting, and it's Joe Marius is like an artist definitely to look out for, because the work they're making is really, really good. And also, if you're a Britney fan, there's loads of Britney songs, and who's not a Britney fan? So the outfits as well, they're to die for.
Brilliant. So the dates on that and tickets and your website again, all your factuals. Action.
I would just say that when you're buying a ticket for Trans Pride, any of our Trans Pride events this year, there's also an option to purchase a pay it forward ticket. So if you do have some cash to spare that you think you would be happy to kind of like help us out with that, it's you can purchase a ticket which we will then give to somebody in the community who may be experiencing financial barriers to accessing any of the work, which is obviously we've got some free events and we've got some pay what you can events, but also some of the events are ticketed, so we've set up, we're trialing a new system basically to see if anyone wants to just kind of like give someone a ticket. And also the same goes for if yourself you're experiencing any financial barriers to accessing some of the work, then you can give us a Facebook message or email me on info@marlboroughtheatre.org.uk and we can have a chat about what can be done about that.
Is this part of the Marlborough's kind of long-term vision view about accessibility in the arts?
Yeah, definitely. We just want to make sure that no one, there isn't anyone who wants to see this work who is prevented from doing so. Like as you say, for reasons of accessibility, which obviously is incredibly frustrating with our stair situation, but we've got a lot of things in the works to try and make that a better actually for people to be able to access the work, and also yeah, like financial barriers and anything like that. So if anything that is currently preventing people from being able to access the space, we're working on it.
Brilliant. The ever inspiring Emma Boswood from the Marlborough Pub and Theatre. And finally, Emma, just remind again about the website, your social feeds, and buying tickets over the bar.
Yeah, so it's marlboroughtheatre.org.uk. If you go on there, there's a little Trans Pride season tab, so you can see all of our events and you can click on there and purchase tickets. And if you buy tickets over the bar, you just, when you're buying a drink or if you're just in there, there's no booking fee, so that's often a preferred way of doing it. But yeah, as I say, I would definitely recommend going in advance and not relying on getting on the door, because it's going to sell out, because it's a really good programme.
It is, it's absolutely corking.
Yeah, and then you can check out our Twitter is MarlboroughBTN and our Instagram is TheMarlborough. And then Facebook, Marlborough Pub and Theatre. Please have a look. We have a lot to say. Oh, also, just to say, if you haven't already, please can you subscribe to our mailing list? You can do this on the website. And obviously read our privacy policy first, thanks GDPR. But there's really good deals, and it's just a great way for us to be able to let you know what's going on if you're into that sort of thing.
I mean, this is such an exciting season. I really love as well, actually, how this has evolved as Trans Pride has over the years.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's absolutely massive. Some incredible stuff on. So act quick, go and grab your tickets and get along. And remember that there's plenty of stuff to access that doesn't involve spending money and that you can register for free. Definitely. Emma Boswood, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Always word perfect. I'll test next time. You're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb.
Living good by my hopes and dreams. Stop flipping for my enemies.
Feel It Still from Portugal and Man. Coming up, bit of Tracy Thorn, and after that, Gilbert and George.
Where did we begin? Back in the days we lived inside each other's skin. We traveled light, we never needed anything. Think of what you'd have to pack if you left and plan on never coming back. Just the thought of it can stop you in your tracks and make you stay.
Absolutely loving that from Tracy Thorn. That is, of course, Dance Floor. And you're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. You can find our podcast at Out in Brighton on Podomatic and iTunes. And we're on the TuneIn Radio Player app and Mixcloud. And, I mean, there's not much escape, really. For more cultural endeavours, Gilbert and George met at St Martin's College in 1967 and went on to become genuine enfants terribles of the British art world with their confrontational imagery that deals with themes of gay sex, masculinity, racism and hypocrisy, amongst other things. A series of their works is showing now at Brighton Museum. It launched in May and is running through until September the 2nd. It starts with early videos of the pair as singing statues and moving through their large-scale, brightly coloured work from the 1980s into a more contemplative but still in-your-face 1990s era. Melita Dennett went to the museum to meet curator of fine art, Jenny Lund, to walk her through the exhibition.
Underneath the arches, I dream my dreams away.
We have 16 works on display, and we see works from 1969 until 1996. So quite a broad span of Gilbert and George's oeuvre, and from their early works where they are still establishing themselves as living sculpture and finding the iconic style of the grid structure that they end up using throughout their career. Through the 80s and the larger, more colorful and bold works, to the 90s where we see them nude for the first time in the New Democratic Picture Series.
We start off here with videos of Gilbert and George as their living sculptures. Their image has remained the same over the last 50 years or so, which is one of the things I kind of like about them. And I like the way they put themselves centre stage in their work. And that's very much the theme that's running through this exhibition.
Yeah, no, they describe their work as one big self-portrait in a way. And it is, but of course they're dealing with universal themes, using themselves as the starting point, but then raising issues around sexuality, identity, class, so much bigger issues that are relevant to all of us.
Now, Gilbert and George's pictures were exhibited in Belfast earlier this year, which drew, let us say, some protests from some of the clergy. Some of the pictures here actually are of that kind of quite challenging and sexual themes. What kind of response have you had from people visiting the gallery to come and see some of these images, which, you know, might actually to some people be quite shocking?
We've had debates about how do we warn people, because in a sense we don't want people to be prejudiced before walking into an exhibition. On the other hand, we also aware that people showing up with families want to know what they are going to be exposed to. So outside the gallery we do have a statement about Gilbert and George's work, including nudity and sexually explicit imagery and that sort of things. I do think some people thought that maybe the exhibition should have been aged for 18 and over. But we are in Brighton, so I think the tolerance is going to be quite different than maybe Belfast without being too prejudiced.
So we're starting off in the first room. We've got a lot of photographs from Gilbert and George's early period. Let's move through to the second room. There's a couple of video installations here. So we move on to what kind of period are we looking at here? 1980s,
yes.
And very bold, very colourful. I'm looking at this image over here of Existers, which is a lot of young men who look like they're probably from drama school.
Actually, this image was quite controversial when Gilbert and George first made it. Gilbert and George were accused of exploiting rent boys, but that's all a myth. These are actually young men who were either their friends or models that were being paid for posing for Gilbert and George. This is a very much dedication to the beauty of male youth, the vitality of youth.
And very colourful, so contrasting to the first room with the black and white film and photographs. Moving into the second room, very, very bright, vivid colours.
Yeah, you see Gilbert and George starting to use the kind of blood red colours in the 70s. And in the first gallery, we have the image Crusade, where we have a strong yellow-red contrast. And then here in the 80s, we really see them breaking loose when it comes to colour, having shocking pink and green, and using a silver leaf. And it was also interesting to install. Because of them working in this grid structure, you would put one image up at a time, and it wasn't before you had put all 24 frames up, you would have the complete picture. So there was this whole anticipation in almost recreating their work.
And we've got the images over here, Thirst and Hunger, which I'm not going to describe. People can see them for themselves. But they might be the kind of thing you'd see on a toilet wall. But I see they're dated 1982, which is when AIDS was first being known about. And I think, you know, these are very political images because they're very, very graphic, very sexual. But there's definitely a response to a suppression of imagery around homosexuality in the face of the AIDS crisis.
Yes, and Gilbert and George did actually an exhibition where they donated all the works to the AIDS campaign. And they lost several of their dear friends to AIDS. So that was something very conscious to them. And they have chosen this very cartoonish style. They're not photographs, they are actually photograms. So they had worked with cutouts and projections. So they have this very kind of grotesque feel to them. But they were saying that was kind of the only way they could get away with showing that kind of explicit scenes in a museum context. But I think they're really important for the reason you just mentioned. And some people may forget that, just being shocked by what they see. But when you think of the history of homosexuality and it only being legalized in 68, these images are really, really important to tell the history of some of a group of people who haven't really been represented in the art world before then. Gilbert and George don't really want us to speak about homosexuality or homoeroticism. They want us to speak about sexuality and eroticism and speak about the universal element in all, and like the desire in all of us. But of course, not to see these images within the context of queerness and homosexuality would be strange.
So this image here, Fallen Leaves, from 1980, it stands out in contrast to the others, being in black and white.
It's one of the few images where Gilbert and George are not representing themselves, but a homeless person from their neighbourhood. It's a very striking, strong portrait where a homeless person who has scars or wounds in his face stares out at us, and we are confronted in a very like unavoidable way with the personality. And around him are leaves that almost have the texture of human skin. It's kind of like a vanitas image, reminding of us of the fragility of life, as well as exposing a real issue within British society.
And moving on to the third room here, images of Gilbert and George naked with their backs to us. They're holding their heads in their hands here. They're under the family tree over here. Quite confrontational images.
Yes, I guess so. I've been with them for so long that to me they aren't really confrontational any longer. But they're the first images, as I mentioned before, where Gilbert and George are shown naked. And I think it's really brave of them. These are from the early 90s. So Gilbert and George would have been around 50 years old, 50, 60 years old. So they are no longer in the like their youth. So it's like the middle-aged body. And I think it's really daring. These are the people we have seen all along in tweed suits being the English gentleman. And now they're going, exposing themselves and showing a vulnerability. And I think it's very transgressive and very daring that they as artists dare, like, are doing something like this. And I like ending with the In the Shit from 1996, which is from their Fundamental Picture series, where we see them from behind, standing on a mountain of fecal matter, looking kind of into the future, surrounded with enlarged microscopic images of bodily fluid on either side. But it's almost like a fairy tale image. And here they have really worked with basic taboos, but and again showing their kind of vulnerable, aged bodies that aren't particularly beautiful, but still there is a sensitivity and beauty to the image itself, because of using these microscopic images, you almost don't notice the abjectness of what you're looking at. So they draw us in through the beauty, and then they somehow shock us when we realize what the content is and confront us with our own values and our own morality.
So that was Jenny Lund, Brighton Museum's Curator of Fine Art, talking to Melita Dennett about the Gilbert and George exhibition. That runs until September the 2nd. And if you take proof of local residency, you can get free entry into the museum, and then it's £3.50 into the exhibition itself. That's just a general good tip, actually, for getting into the museum. Take your council tax bill or similar to help you with that. You're listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb. This is Christine and the Queens.
So softly speaking, your words a constant babbling stream. Come from nowhere, where? Come from nowhere, where? Your eyelids painted chalk, shimmering as just as you talk. Are you singing, ging? Are you singing, ging? I see that your left arm is ink stained. And since you're sleeveless, you ain't lying, gives a sly wink. Does he know my loneliness? And then I steal a glimpse of your face as you turn the other way. Now I play your ghost as my ace whenever I'm led astray. Here's my station. Here's my station. Ooh. Glory. 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 Gloriously rude. Are you for real, real, real?
You're not for real, real, real. Every breath you take is a violin string that breaks. To the gun, sing, sing, sing. To the gun, sing, sing, sing. Maybe for you I had nothing but a handful of sad sense. And this town is dead, my darling. You're the one that reinvents. With my lips till I say a prayer. Long live the fool, kill the king. I am of a newborn anger, and the storm will hear us sing. Here's my station. Here's my station. And if you say just one word, I'll stay with you.
Christine and the Queens. And you've been listening to Out in Brighton on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and online worldwide at radioreverb.com and on podcast too, Out in Brighton on the Podomatic pages. Many, many thanks indeed to my guest Danny Dwyer from Bear Patrol, Emma Boswood of the Marlborough Pub and Theatre. With thanks to Melita Dennett for her report and to Jenny Lund also from Brighton Museum. And thank you as ever to you for listening. Playing us out today, this is Vale.